Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I hope you enjoy today's show. Alrighty, my motivational quote is by the Jay Giles Band. I wonder if you recognize the lyrics.
You love her, but she loves him.
So, love stinks, yeah. Or does it? Perhaps love stinks for you because you haven't figured out the rules of love. What the heck am I actually talking about? Well, my guest today has done a ton of research interviewing both men and women to find out how to find the love of your life. And does this sound like it's just too good to be true? Well, then settle in as my guest, Deborah Hardy, shares her lifelong experience and research to help you find your perfect partner to help you live happily ever after. Now, Deborah is a relationship coach for over 14 years, teaching women how to inspire men to love and treasure them. I just love that. She is the creator of the Love Ops training for women who want to attract the relationship of their dreams. In addition, Deb is a lifelong student of meditation and spirituality and is happily married to the man of her dreams for 19 years. So please help me welcome my wonderful guest today, Deborah Hardy. So Deb, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Connie. It's such a privilege to be on your Life Expanding for All of Your Listeners show. I love being here. Thank you.
Yeah, and I actually do love the topic of today. I don't typically talk about love too much on the show, especially because it's in a business platform and we talk from a business realm. But the reality is, we all need to love ourselves, but we also need to love others. And I think it just makes for a better go round during our lifetime, right?
Yes, I think so. And can influence business as well when you understand some of the basic concepts between men and women.
Yes, agree 100%. I am excited about this topic, and I do agree that it certainly impacts how we engage in our business realm as well, right? So love is, I know it sounds so funny to talk from that from a business perspective, but you're right, it impacts that as well. So first question, how did you get started coaching women to create the relationship of their dreams?
I was in college when I met a girlfriend, and she taught me some incredible secrets about what men need from us. And because I was single until I met my husband, Michael, at the age of 42, I had plenty of practice with men. Some of them, relationships I was in with men were short term and some were long term. And so I got to use the principles that she taught me. And then when I married my husband, he had already been leading emotional recovery circles for a decade. So in 1996, when we married, I started joining his circles. And one of the circles that I was participating in with him was a couples circle. And in that circle, I listened to the women talk about their relationships, and about a year and a half into that group, couple circle, I asked my husband, I said, can you take the men off to the side? Because I want to share some secrets with the women in the group, because I can clearly see that they're missing some key ingredients to being in relationship with their partners. And he said, sure, yeah, let's try it. And I taught the women these circles, in the circle, these secrets. And they went back into their relationships over the next week. and came back and said, OMG, you have got to teach us more. I want to know more of what you know, because that worked so well with my husband. So it was then that I started researching relationships and reading everything that I could come across and pulled out what I thought was the very best information and actually started teaching weekend courses, which then led to group courses because I liked the weekly group format because I could then have the women experiment with the information that I gave them. They could use it and implement it slowly and then come back with questions, and then I would teach them some more. So during this process of learning about how to have a better relationship, even beyond the secrets that I knew, I also got to reflect on all the crazy making relationships that I had personally been in. I had been in a long-term relationship with a con artist.
Wow.
I'd been with a drug dealer right in my early college years. I dated an addict who was an alcoholic and had a lot of issues. I even dated a man who was under house arrest for tax fraud. And so I didn't really myself, I opened myself up for a relationship that didn't serve me, and I didn't know how to choose. I was kind of an innocent, gullible woman. And so it was important for me to help women understand relationships so that I could help them avoid some of those dysfunctional relationships that so many of us attract.
Isn't that interesting how, and here's the thing, and I believe this to my core, Deb, that good or bad relationships, good or bad experiences, good or bad business things that we do, we learn. Probably, and it's just funny that you had some very extreme relationship, I'm going to just say issues, right, with a con artist, drug addict, a drug dealer, like, wow. So all of those things, the amount of knowledge and instinct that long term that you actually learned from that is remarkable. But I do have one really funny question, I think. So your friend taught you this in college, right? And she taught you some secrets. Can you give us an example of what one of those secrets was that your friend shared, and then I'm sure that you've reiterated it now, you know, over your lifetime, and probably have even perfected it. Yeah, I'm sure it has refined it, right, from a little tidbit of a recommendation. So can you give us an example, though? I'm just curious. I love the word secrets.
Yes. So the secret that she taught me was what men need from women is appreciation. And especially when, so I share with women that it's really great to be open to receiving men's gifts. And at that same time, it's super, super important to thank them for that gift. So you could, a man could give you something and you simply say thank you. Or when you're meeting a man for the first time, say you're at a restaurant and you stumble upon a friend and he has another friend with him, and you're meeting this guy who just happens to be in front of you for the first time, and there's a connection there that you can feel. And you could even say something like, nice watch, or great shirt, or awesome glasses. And just that little bit of appreciation right up front when you're first meeting a man gives him, oh, I'm okay. I'm winning at whatever it is I'm doing. I'm feeling, she's relaxing me. There's an attraction and allure there instantly. And then as you step into relationship further and further, and the relationship becomes more intimate, you can then acknowledge things about him that are about his manly characteristics, such as I compliment my husband on his rough, tough whiskers, and he always will growl back like "Row," you know, like I'm really I've got this animal beauty to me, and that really helps men relax and feel confident and be attracted to women.
You know, that's such an interesting concept, and one that we truly all do need to learn. And I'll share with you, I'm married over 26 years now. And early on, maybe about 10 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, you know, the kids were still small. You know, he was running to ShopRite, I was running to Costco. He'd take one kid to hockey in North Jersey, and I'd be down in South Jersey. So it seemed to be this divide and conquer relationship, just because we had so much going on with, and I'm sure parents listening are going, yeah, she's talking about my life right now. And what we stopped doing was saying, oh my God, thanks for picking up the slack on that. Or, oh, I can't believe you remembered to get that at ShopRite for me. That was really thoughtful. We stopped doing that for each other and almost started taking it for granted. And those little insignificant appreciations were lost. And it was by the time the kids started getting older and we started realizing, like, hey man, we're going to be empty nesters soon. Do I even like this person anymore? And I know this goes through a lot, Deb, with, you know, empty nesters, people my age where the kids are going off to college, etc., that they look at each other and think, yeah, this isn't working. And my husband and I, we really looked at that and thought, wow, how did we lose that? And it was appreciation, I could tell you, at the core. And we started to introduce that back again. It was important. It's such a simple concept. But I want everybody listening, Deb, because I think that, you know, it's a secret, but is it? I think we become unaware because of our running. We're running all the time in our life to get things done. So I love that piece of advice. And I don't think that's just about getting love. I think that's interacting with any humans, right?
Yes. I can give an example for my sister. She posted a text to all of her family members and showed us this beautiful rose bush that had climbed up onto a balcony, and she could see it from her upstairs windows. And she's a gardener. That's her thing. And she says, look at my beautiful roses, what was out my window this morning. And I could have said, oh, yeah, that's great. But instead, what I texted back to her was, and her favorite color is red, and they were red roses. So she was super over the moon about them. But I texted back, and what a reflection of you, how passionate and generous you are with the people that you're near. And so then my other sister that was on that thread said something beautiful as well. And so all of a sudden, my first sister, the one that owns the rosebush, had just gotten these two beautiful compliments from her two sisters. And you could just tell there was love in the air. It wasn't just about a photo. It went beyond. And I think that we can use this principle of appreciation in business.
Absolutely.
As well. That's so powerful.
Yeah, agree. And great, again, great example. And here's the other thing, Deb, that we forget, again, because we're running, and everybody can relate to this. We get caught up in our own stuff, right? The reality, though, is by just showing appreciation for those subtle little things that someone at work does for you, that's how we build loyalty. That's how we build trust. That's how we have people rally behind us. That's how we lead by example. I mean, all of these things. And it's as simple as just showing little appreciation. It doesn't have to be anything grandiose either. It's these simple little gestures. So I love that little recommendation right out of the gate. I think it's powerful. I think that was really powerful. We're about halfway into the show. So let's take a really brief break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about what you see happening in the world right now in terms of innovation in relationships, or is it, you know, what it once was, or are there truly innovations? So let's take a break and then we'll talk about that.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric, she speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change. Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
We're back and we're speaking with Deborah Hardy and we're talking about love, but really I love how in the last segment, Deb, we kind of brought it back to using that appreciation in a business realm as well. But of course we do want to focus on love and finding love in all the right places, because love really doesn't stink, as it my Jay Giles bag intro there. Really, has there been anything new in innovation as far as relationship goes that you've seen with your research?
What I'm finding in interviewing women and men is that women actually give way too much. And what I mean by that is that they are giving more in romance than they're receiving, generally speaking. And what that sets up is a very funny dynamic, a very confusing dynamic to both men and to women, because it's masculine energy to give and it's feminine energy to receive. We can even think about how our anatomy is set up. When we have sex, the man gives to us and we receive him. So it's masculine energy to give. It's feminine energy to receive. And this is one of the key distinctions that I make in the Love Ops training, because I find that when I interview women, I say, so do you consider yourself the one who gives more in relationship, or do you receive more? Does your partner give or receive the most, if you just look at it in general terms? And what women say almost straight across the board is that they're the giver in relationship. And so when a woman that's feminine, who wants to be cherished in a romantic relationship, brings too much masculine energy to that relationship by overgiving, then the man who is a healthy giving guy, in other words, he's not a narcissist or an addict or a sociopath. Mm-hmm. There's no space for him to show up, because she's overgiving and claiming the masculine position in relationships. So a female who gives to a healthy giving guy too much, it causes a friction or a repulsion. So if you can imagine two magnets coming together and you put the North Pole and the South Pole together, they easily come together. And that's what it means, opposites attract. You want to think of it like that magnet, just like really easily having attraction. So when a woman shows up and she's giving, 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 and not recognizing his gifts back to her, then it's like putting the North Pole and the North Pole together. You can't make them attract each other. they actually can repel each other. So in a relationship where a woman is overgiving, there can actually be repulsion.
So it's an out of balance type of situation, really, is what you're kind of describing, right? We're out of balance. So what, okay, so what if the, here's a funny question. What if the woman likes to be or wants to be in the masculine position? Then what do they do?
Then they can give with intelligence. They understand they are wanting to be in the masculine position in the relationship. In other words, they want to be respected more than they want to be cherished and treasured. So it's completely doable. And I know a lot of couples that are this way, where the female is in the masculine position and the man is in the feminine position. But sometimes what can happen is that if a female wants to be cherished, but she's overgiving, it can actually flip this healthy giving guy who wants to show up in the masculine energy into the feminine energy. And what happens then is that we look at him and think, this isn't the guy I wanted. This isn't the guy that showed up as my hero in the beginning of this relationship. I must leave him and get a new one because he's not the strong, healthy, giving guy that I once knew. And all the while, we're not realizing that it's us that's causing him to flip. And I'm overgeneralizing just to make a point, but it's really important if we want to be cherished and treasured that we turn our attention into receiving, like having space and having vision to receive his gifts and even creating situations where he can give to us and we can thank him. Like, for example, just waiting for a man, any man, to open a door for us and saying thank you. So if you're both coming to the door of the grocery store at the same time, if you pause momentarily, he'll know to open the door and gift you that ease of life. And then you can thank him with that appreciation like we talked about early on. And so that's what I see is the most confusing thing for women in relationship these days.
You know, it's so interesting. And I guess I've never thought of it from this perspective. My husband and I tease all the time that his mom and dad really raised him well and polite. He's the utmost of polite and respectful. And he still to this day will always hold the door for me. And before you can unlock the door with the clicker, you know, to unlock, he would always open my door first for me and then go around. And it's funny. One day he took my sister to the movie. They wanted to see this was a long time ago. I think the kids were little. And he wanted to go see Batman and she wanted to go see Batman, whichever one it was. And it's not my genre. I'm like, ugh, too dark for me. I don't love it. So the two of them went, they split a soda, they split a popcorn, you know, they were joking around. And my sister later on said to me, oh my God, I felt like a princess. I'm like, what are you talking about? You went to see Batman at the movies, you know? She's, he held the door for me. He opened the, and this was before the clicker, he opened the car door for me. So I'm like, well, I guess you're married to a Neanderthal, right? Teasing about my brother-in-law, who's a doll also. But we giggled and she said, he is so chivalrous. And I said, oh, my husband is truly a polite man. And to this day, he still does it for me. And it's just funny. And I guess I never thought of this, Deb, because I have a strong personality. You've seen me. We were on a class together. And if I have something to say, you know, I say it. I hope I always come across respectful, but I do have a big personality.
Mm-hmm.
He manages me. It's really adorable. And I don't mean manage me, manipulate me. He allows me to be me. And then he'll come home for no reason and bring me flowers. He'll stop at ShopRite, you know, and think I had a busy week or I had a stressful week and he'll bring flowers. And I get annoyed because I don't want to arrange them in the vase. So he brings them home, even puts them in the vase for me. It's little things like that he shows me the appreciation and I do have a strong personality, and he's able to navigate that. So honestly, I do think his parents did a good job of creating this very gentle soul, and at the same time, not afraid to step up and give me what I need without even knowing I need it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I would say, I call that in the training, he's a healthy giving guy. And that's what women should look for.
Yeah. And Deb, I have a strong personality. So it's not, I know I keep saying that. You're like, we know, Connie, we get it. We listen to the show. But really, really, he's still the strength, and he's not an, I'm definitely more loud and more energy. He's much more subdued and calm, which is also good for me. That's that opposites attract. But again, I hope I appreciate him and he knows that, but I think he shows me appreciation with things that I don't think I need. But when he does it, I think, oh, I needed that. That was really a nice gesture. Oh, that made me feel so good. So he's a healthy guy. Yeah, I agree with that. It's interesting. I've just never thought about it from this perspective. So I'm going to thank him tonight.
yeah. And what you can do, Connie, because you've been married to him a really long time, so the relationship isn't brand new, because you want to up-level your appreciations as you move into a more intimate relationship. So with your relationship, if you say something like, when he brings you flowers, you could say, "You're my hero. I love that you bring me flowers." So when you say, "You're my hero," hero is actually, this is really top secret information, but it's the word men really want to hear from us women.
Isn't that interesting? I think if I ever said that, I might say it in a joking manner. That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to take this seriously, Deb. I am going to, next time he does it, I'm going to say, "You're my hero. Thank you for thinking of me. And, you know, you're my knight in shining armor," or something like that. I will say that to him. Yeah. That would be, if that's the appreciation that subconsciously he might need, I'm happy. As I learn, I really do try to apply things, because I do want to continue to foster our relationship, certainly. And it's a lot of work, you know, to build a healthy, back and forth, even balanced relationship. And I think, Deb, it's important for my boys to see that we're truly partners. It's truly a 50-50 partnership. He food shops, does laundry. I mean, we do everything we need to do to create a happy home and keep things moving and organized, etc. Now, what happens though, Deb, if women, maybe they don't know they're being overgiving? What do they do? What do they need to do to stop being overgiving? Maybe that's a better question.
What they can do is, first of all, not intellectually discuss this with their husbands or partners. They don't want to go home and go, "You haven't been giving enough to me." You want to go real slowly and just be observant and very present to when your partner does give you something, to see his gifts and appreciate them for their giving. And then the next thing that they'll want to do is make sure that they foster the giving by either asking them to do something for them, like, "Michael, can you reach the honey way up there high?" And then you go, "Oh, thank you so much for doing that. That's a struggle for me, and I love that you're so tall and heroic that you can reach for that honey up in the closet." And it's things like that that can really help with focusing on receiving and stop the overgiving. Because I think what it does for women is it starts to open up their feminine divine essence of being worthy of receiving gifts. And that shift is sort of like an immaculate conception from the divine above, where you ignite that essence that men are just super attracted to.
You know, Deb, I think just based on what you just said, I think recently women have there. You know, like there's more women's networking groups, et cetera, especially in the business front. And I think that women have fighting for equal pay and all, you know, leadership positions and CEO positions and all those things that we have taught ourselves, you know, maybe in the last 25 to 30 years, you know, I am woman, hear me roar. And that right. we're forgetting that we are women and men do like to take care of us. And I'm not saying be a second class citizen to them or anything like that. Again, I'm strong, you know, in my business and everything, my career. I've never needed a man to support me and I would never, that's not who I am, right? So again, I think that the pendulum keeps moving to these extremes instead of finding that balance of, yes, you could be a strong, vibrant, independent woman and still at the same time be vulnerable and allow the man to be strong as well, but also provide what he needs from the masculine perspective. I feel like we're losing the essence of just male female or and even beyond male female in any giving relationship, you know, homosexual or heterosexual, doesn't matter. I think that we have to allow for this dynamic of we can each individual be strong, independent, and fierce, and yet at the same time together be vulnerable to each other and allow each other to accept love, right, like you said, but allow the other to provide that love or whatever it is that they need. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm trying to say? I think we're losing ourselves. We're losing ourselves in this I am woman, hear me roar.
Right, because the feminist movement, which really was birthed because of the invention of the pill. So when the pill was invented, we said to ourselves, we've been suppressing our masculine side of accomplishment mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. intellect and determination and strength. And so we're going to go out and do that. And what we've been doing is to become a better man. And so what's happening in romantic relationships is that we're showing up trying to be the better man. And that's causing a lot of confusion in our romance, in our romantic relationships that doesn't need to be there because we are really gifted with so much love, with you know, we're fertile women who can create life. We're the creatrix of life on this planet. And when we turn our attention towards receiving more, then that just sparks within both men and women that vulnerability to accentuate things like love. And that's why it works so well in romantic relationships.
And you know, it's really true. And again, I like this perspective. Honestly, I've just never thought about it, I guess. But and the fertility that we are the ones, right, who have to bear the children, et cetera. It just is. It's how we're wired and we're made. That's a very powerful thing of it in and of itself. And yet, we think, you know, in the business front that we have to be masculine and show up as our, you know, I could fight, I could meet the man and do it and do it better, right? So that strength that we think we need in business, I don't disagree that we do have to be strong and we can't be emotional and all those things because business is business, right? But
right.
if we can find that strength, right? Like I said, I'm a strong person. That's how I am. And we could go into business and be that strong person. And yet I find that when you do say thank you and appreciate people and give people credit when it was their idea and not yours, those little things of appreciation, even though you're strong and dynamic and a driver and a leader and all those things, that appreciation on the business front, I think you get the same result that you're describing on the personal side where you have this harmony, dynamic, of the yin yang, the opposites attract, the balance, right? That fluidity within relationships. I think we're talking really about the same thing, and I think the tools are mm-hmm. useful on both realms, right? Did I understand that?
Right, right. I do think that in work, we want to bring our masculine, you know, because in each person, there's a masculine and a feminine side, men or woman. And so when we're in that role of accomplishing, we need to use our masculine energy. And yet we're also being called in the work world, as well as just in our personal lives, that we all bring in more intuition, mm-hmm. and that comes from opening up that feminine side of yourself. So there's, gosh, we could talk for hours about this. It's such an exciting topic.
It is. It's an interesting thing. And really, women, what I think we bring more intuitively to the table than men, because men had to be the masculine, the breadwinners for all those years, right? From caveman days, right? They went out and reaped, found the food, killed the food, and brought it home, and the women cooked it and took care of the kids, etc. But we bring the emotional intelligence because of those, you know, generations of being the caregiver and the intuitive one. And I just feel like the pendulum, men need to be emotionally intelligent as well. So I feel like it's an exciting time, because we can learn. I certainly learned from the men in my business life as well. But I think they learned from me on the emotional intelligence side, to how to give feedback or to how to coach someone and do it with kindness and respect. But you know what? I'm still giving them the facts and the reality of what they need to do to change the behavior or become better, in their own business development, you know, their growth as a business person. So it's just such a fascinating topic, Deb. And I hope I didn't take you off your game of the love piece by bringing in the business. I just think that it's a double-edged sword that needs to be looked at and evaluated, right?
Right, right. I agree. I think that what's really happening for women and for men is opening up their hearts.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's important. Yeah, it's really super important.
Yeah, and now we're out of time, unfortunately, because I think you and I could keep going on this one. Yes. But guys and gals, if you would like more information about Deb and her program, and again, I think both in our individual lives, we need to grow. Deb, another thing I believe, and that's why the Enlightenment of Change, the show, the premise behind it is, you know, it's great that we want to lose weight. It's great that we want to come business powerhouses and all of these things, and they're all wonderful dreams and endeavors to seek. But I think that we have to find that inner love and that love within our intimate relationships, as well as our business relationships, etc., for us to thrive and prosper in multiple levels. But it starts inside. So, guys, if you'd like to explore this topic further, I really think you need to reach out to Deb and her. I'm going to give you her website. And she has a free gift and a bunch of cool stuff for us. So the website is, of course, www.loveops.com, and it's LUVOPS.com. You can reach out to Deb for specific questions at her email address at Deborah, because it's spelled D-E-B-O-R-A-H. So it's Deborah at LoveOps, LUVOPS.com. And Deborah is DEBORAH. Free gift. She has a free 30-second, 8 critical elements to the irresistible chemistry of love at first sight. And that's at her website. So it's LoveOps.com/, and then it's the-first-30, 30 seconds. And no worries, I know a lot of people commute with me. I will post that on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change platform, so you guys could get the free gift and look at the website for Deb's more information if you'd like to reach out to her just for your own education. She's there to help. Also, please go, my partner and I on Wisdom Decoded, my other business, we are still offering the free communication style assessment. Just go to wisdomdecoded.com. You get your own little report, and it gives you some insight, which kind of goes beautifully with this topic, Deb. We find out how we're wired and how we communicate, and that might even help with us navigating this love relationship, not only in our personal lives, but also even in our personal lives. I think it's a nice little marriage. So, Deb, thank you again for being on, and great content, just great topic. We could keep peeling back this layer and chatting from many different directions. So thank you so much for bringing the research and information to us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Connie, for being a great change agent in the world.
Oh, thank you so much. I do. I love the show. I love doing it. And I hope people learn every time they listen that they pick up a new idea or perspective. Like today, I certainly know I'm thinking about things just from a different perspective with my husband. So I always find that helpful. You know, we want to become better and better every day. So really, thank you again for sharing the concept. It's very cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, as we did today, build and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves, sometimes from the most silly thing, like showing appreciation, again, like we analyzed today, and realize that change is possible and easier than we think. Thank you again to my guests. Thank you all for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week, and I do wish you one filled with love and wonderful energy. Thank you.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman and Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, WhitmanASSOC.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.